Hello, this is Tony Aloma with tape number 38 of The Flow of Life. This has to do with eternal life. And some of you people in the church feel that you've really done a job for the Lord if you just hand these tapes to somebody like your sons and daughters. But I want to remind every one of you that I make people sit down and listen to these tapes when they're being recorded. My boys are sitting right over there. There's all kinds of people from the office and the school that are in here right now listening to them. And some of the people in the church have not even listened to the tapes, and they're falling away like flies because their moms and dads will give them the tape, but they don't sit down with anybody in the church to make sure that the baby Christians are listening to them. But then if you say that you're too busy to do something like that, then, you know, whatever you're doing, if you're going to the post office to pick up mail or if whatever you're doing, is not as important as this, because these tapes have power in them. Because they're, why? Because they're from the Lord. They're not from me, they're from the Lord. And if you eat and drink this power and breathe it in on a daily basis and make sure that everybody else does, well, then you're doing something for the Lord. But if you just hand somebody a tape, don't think you're doing any big thing, like a lot of people just hand tracts to people. You know, some of them will read them, and many of them do, and we know that they have. But we're talking about your sons and your daughters, your husbands and your wives. You make sure you sit down with them and make sure that they hear these tapes, because if they don't, this is the daily manna, the daily river of life, the daily breath of God that you need in order to, the daily seed of God, the manna, for you to be able to survive and stay saved in this world today. Now, let's all go up to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to bless this service. Father, we thank and praise Your holy name for Your word. This is the breath of life. It's the river of life, it's the fountain of life, it's the manna, it's the tree of life, it's the food for our souls, it's everything incorporated within Your word, which is the seed or the grain that has all of You in it. Lord, we ask that You open every heart and soul and mind to be able to read, so that they can would be enabled to receive Your word, Your power, Your strength, Your life, and growth in You. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's begin.
The seed of life, the growth in life, and the transformation in life in Matthew 13 and 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
Right, when we have the seed of life, this is the container that contains everything of God for life and growth and to be transformed. People are not transformed completely to the fullness of the stature of Christ until they continuously eat and drink and breathe in the Word of God. It's you're transformed or translated into His exact image and likeness by eating and drinking and breathing of Him on a daily basis. And so this has to do with transformation. Read that again also.
The seed of
if
life.
If you want to be transformed, you have to make it a habit to eat, drink, and breathe every day. Then what? Go ahead, read it.
The seed of life.
Which is Christ. Then what?
The growth in life.
Is also Christ, because God gives the increase. Amen. Then what?
And the transformation in life.
And the transformation in life. Until you become mature in the Lord. People say, well, we're just so weak. That's because you're not being transformed on a daily basis. And you just think it's something that's a comic book or something. You're dead wrong, and you're going to spend eternity in hell if you don't start believing what the Lord says about Himself, His word, the food, the manna, the water, the breath, the seed, and being transformed from a carnal life carnal life hangs on for quite a while until transformation completely takes place. And transformation can only take place if you cooperate with the total word of the Lord, which tells you to constantly eat and drink of Him. It calls for your cooperation. Your flesh has to be subject, in other words, to cooperate with the Word of God. And you have to coordinate all of your senses, as I said in the last message, to cooperate with the Lord. Because what we're talking about here is your eternal life, life in eternity, in the kingdom of heaven forever. And there isn't anything more important than that. If you're not smart enough to know that now, please believe me, just do what the Lord is telling me to tell you to do, and you'll thank me for it later, all right? Okay, go ahead.
In Matthew 13, the first three parables are parables concerning the seed. The first parable is the sower sowing the seed, verses 3 through 9.
Okay.
And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up.
This may sound like the message that I brought yesterday, but it's not the same message, so don't be discouraged and stop the tape. It's much more, all right, than to come. All right, what else?
Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, and some thirtyfold.
Well, this is symbolic of the four different hearts, because the Lord likens our hearts as unto wayside type of hearts. Stony, shallow hearts, hearts that are full of thorns and thistles, cares of the world, and then the good soil kind of heart, where the Word of God is sown into it, because the Word of God is seed with everything of God in it. And the devil doesn't want us to receive the seed or the water or the food of the Lord to grow and be transformed into the likeness of the Lord so that he can project or where he can represent himself in this world, in us, and through us to others. And the only way that we can adequately represent the Lord is if we've been transformed. The more that we're transformed, the more people will see the Lord in us, because we're totally cooperating with the Word of God, which is God. We're cooperating with the seed, and we are also coordinating all of our will, our conscience, our feelings, our desires, wishes, the will, everything towards the Word of God. That's the only way that God can represent himself in us, is if we are totally surrendered and committed to him. You understand?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. The second parable is the sower sowing the good seed, verses 24 through 30.
This is another parable. Okay, then what else?
Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field.
So this is the good seed now. Amen. In his field. Then what?
But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way.
The enemy is always going to be trying to sow tares into your soul, into your heart, into your mind. And so you have to cooperate with the word of the Lord and just say no to the tempter. Amen? And all of his fiery temptations or darts. And you have to do that every day, all day long. And then what?
But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?
But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them.
Well, that's another thing why people don't understand why I don't throw people out of the church right away. Because a lot of times people will come, a bunch of maybe four or five baby Christians at one time, and maybe there's a bunch of other baby Christians, and they get to know each other in the church. And they don't know the depths of the word of the Lord, how unscriptural some of these people are, or how carnal they are. And if you toss one of them out, if you make him go out immediately, people will be so connected to them in a carnal way, a satanically spiritual way, because they're not mature at all. And if you pull them out, it'll pull them out of the church as well. And so a lot of people think that because a pastor is wise, that has wisdom, and doesn't throw them out of the church immediately, that they're weak and that they don't know what's going on. But believe me when I tell you, when a pastor has been transformed and is fully grown from babe to maturity in the Lord, they spot carnal people instantly. And they see a pattern of their carnality on a continuous basis. And they can tell that they're around, they're in there sowing tares into the other people. And so it's a constant thing of why we have to continuously bring messages in that regard, because it's hard to tell a baby Christian that comes in or that has some kind of an affection or friendship with somebody in the church this friend of yours over here is a demon. You just can't tell them that, because they'll just pull up stakes and take off. But after you just keep feeding the sheep, the true people of the Lord, the Word of God, and they drinking and eating the Word of God, then pretty soon they become mature and they can see that their friend is not what they ought to be, or their friends in the church. And then they start thinking that maybe this person, you know, is just ignorant, but they've heard the same messages that you have. And when they get mature, and everybody around them is mature, then it's easy to say, see what your friend is doing, and I've warned them many times, and you see how they are like a demon, they have a demonic problem, amen? Mm-hmm. And they say, amen. You know, I'm afraid, I don't want to put that person out, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to do that, because they would maybe spoil some of the new ones that are coming in. And they don't have any desire to do anything. They don't want to work. They don't want to report things. They're usurping authority all the time. How many times did Abraham or Adam have to disobey God? Only once. And the Spirit of God left him. So can you see all the times that these people in this church, this particular person here is disobeying God? Don't you know that the Spirit of God has left that person? And they say, gosh, is that right? You say, well, here's Adam, and then you look at Saul, how he just disobeyed God once. The Lord told him to kill those sheep and oxen, and he didn't. And so the Spirit of God left him. And these people are disobedient many times per day. Can you see that now? And they say, yes. And I know that you're an obedient person to the Lord. Doesn't that trouble you when you see that your friend is disobedient every day? Yes, it does. Well, I'm going to try to work with you, your friend here. And I'm going to bring more messages to your friend here. But if he doesn't shape up, you know, and if he keeps trying to teach false doctrine and everything, I'm afraid I'm going to have, you kind of have to act innocent, you know. I'm afraid, or, you know, like a weakling or something. I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask him to leave. But it takes more strength to have the patience to put up with that type of a person than it does to just bail somebody out instantly. Now, there are people in the church that take the position of a pastor, and that is really, really bad, because, like, there was one person that came into the church and didn't know what the rules were or anything, and he took some soap. He didn't know everybody owned their own soap, and he took some, and these brothers wanted to just throw him out of the church instantly. And they are the kind of tares that we have to watch out for. It's because, first of all, they're not, and they called me up and said, did they steal? Doesn't the Bible say that they're not supposed to steal? And I said, how many times did I have to go back to the things that they've done and how that they are not, don't have any mercy, and that they had, that we had mercy on them for years, and here this person has only been at the church for one day, and they want to kick him out. Then I have to refer back or remind them of the times that they have done things, and they were not thrown, put out of the church or asked to leave. And then finally, they lost respect for me because I have patience on a little baby, a baby Christian. If you have a little child, it's a baby, and it throws its bottle on the floor. You don't throw them out in the alley, do you? No, you love your little baby, don't you? Okay, well, these people are terrors that would do such a thing as that. And some of them got married and have children, and they're like vicious. And so on. And there's a couple of them are still in the church. Two or three of them are still in the church. And if the shoe fits you, then put it on. And know that I know who you are. And I knew who you were the minute you did that. I'm not a novice. I've been in the ministry almost 40 years. And don't mistake meekness before the Lord for weakness. Because I'm not weak, God told my wife and others that I'm strong. And he showed it to them in visions, signs and wonders, and audibly he told people. Don't think that just because I put up, that I have patience until the Lord says, remove those tares. So that's why if you take the tares, and you're not the pastors, I'm not teaching you how to be a pastor. I'm the pastor here, and you don't have the authority to put anybody out of this church or suggest to me who to put out of the church. All you need to do is call me and tell me what the person is doing. Then I'm going to have them counter your report, and I'm going to want witnesses, not just people, but I mean people that I trust that tell the truth, because a witness is a person that is of the Lord, that has mercy on people, and that has love in their heart, and that is that obeys the Lord in every point. Not just, if you bring me people that are known, and I know them to be liars, those are not witnesses for the Lord. They're not letting the Lord represent himself in them at all. As a matter of fact, you may be bringing me tares, weeds, to testify. And I'm sure they testify falsely against people. So before Dr. Greenspan died, he says, your wisdom is beyond anything that I could ever imagine. You were right there when he said it, weren't you? Yes, he says. And I said, yes, I've been put through the fire, and I study, and I seek the Lord, and I know what to do. But when people go too far, and they do it right in front of everybody in the church, right there is a chance that I have to pull those weeds right out and get them out of the church. Like, for instance, two of the people posing to be Christians decided to take a hike down the road, and they're carrying butcher knives and everything. I don't have to explain too much to put those kind of people out, do I? And if anybody felt sympathetic for them, they should go too. Amen?
Amen.
Let them go out. If they want to live worldly lives, they must go into the world to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then go ahead.
Let both grow together until the harvest.
Yeah, and then the Lord will take care of them. He calls them sheep, his people are sheep, and the other ones the goats. The wheat are the good ones, and the chaff are the ones that are going to be burned. But he tells his pastors, he said, you know, for us to take total control over the services in the church. And then he tells us to measure people and put them out, doesn't he?
Yes.
Of course, that takes wisdom and patience, all right, and obedience. I really don't like to put anybody out of the church. You know, I mean, I would love to everybody to be good and to stay. Okay, go ahead.
And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them.
Okay, and who are the reapers? The angels, amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
But gather the wheat into my barn.
Amen. Then what?
And the third parable is the sower sowing the mustard seed, verses 31 through 32.
Sowing faith into people. Because faith comes by the word, and so when they're saved, they need to have faith. The faith grows as you obey, and as you breathe in the word of God, you eat the word of God, you drink the word of God, you're the seed of God, the grain of God. Then what?
Another parable put he forth unto them,
which
saying,
is the Spirit of the Lord, amen? Which is the power and might of God, and the life of God. Then what?
Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. The fourth parable is a parable concerning the produce of...
I only mentioned three parables, the first, but there's more parables, amen? They write in a row, too. Then fourth parable is what?
A parable concerning the produce of the seed, the fine flour, verses 33 through 35. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened.
Okay. Then what?
All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world.
And this is a secret, too, and there's a nugget here for everybody, all right? Then what?
This parable tells us how a woman took leaven and hid it within the unleavened fine flour until all of it was leavened.
Yes. Go ahead.
Leaven, in Scripture, is symbolic of evil things, 1 Corinthians 5, 6, and 8.
So she's putting leaven in the unleavened thing. Amen? That's like, we have to be careful of what we hear, because there's false doctrines. There's heresies. There's paganism. And later on in this message here, I talk about the gold and the silver and the pearls and the precious stones that the New Jerusalem is made out of, and it can't have any leaven. We are those building materials. We're the gold, the silver, the pearls, the precious stones that the New Jerusalem is built out of. We're the building materials. And that we, as building materials, are also builders. We have to be working on the building. Okay, but we've got a firm foundation, and which is Christ, amen?
Amen.
We're working on the building to please our Lord, amen?
Amen?
We should never get tired, no matter how tired you are. You just lift your feeble limbs up and just start praising and thanking the Lord, just to working on the building, because we're getting more building materials by preaching the word to others so that they become gold, silver, pearls, and precious stones, amen?
Amen.
So that it's the building of God, or the New Jerusalem. Amen?
Amen?
Which we are. We're the building materials, and we are the ones that God is using to build that building, the New Jerusalem with the kingdom of heaven. Okay? And so we don't need any leavening in us, because that's like unto sin. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the scriptures say is symbolic of sin. Then what?
1 Corinthians 5:6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?
A little false doctrine, paganism, heresy, would cause you to not go to the kingdom of heaven or be acceptable building materials to build the building of God or the New Jerusalem. It'll destroy you. That's what Jesus is saying. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then go ahead.
Verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Leaven in Scripture is symbolic of evil things and evil doctrines. Matthew 16:6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees.
Right, the false doctrine, the heresy, the paganism of them. They take the Scriptures and made a religion out of it. Then what?
Verses 11-12. How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees.
Right, the false doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and also the heresy of them. And they're not allowing the Lord to represent himself in them. They were hypocrites. They spoke the truth, but they didn't do. They read the word, and they heard the word, but they were not doers of the word. And there's no way that God can represent himself in somebody that just knows, has a head knowledge of the Bible, but doesn't do what it says. How will anyone see the works of God in you? And how will God be able to work in you so that miracles will happen if you just hear the word and don't do? If you don't let your children hear these tapes and read the tracks and read them to them and not just hand it to them, how will they see God in you? They want to see you sit down with them and be interested and see your interest in the word of God. As if they see that, well, then they'll be interested in the word of God as well. I've got children that, I mean, they just love for me to watch, you know, to help put on my little daughter's shoes, and to, she wants me to watch her while she's walking on the treadmill. I'm just a little two-year-old kid. We have to hang on to her even, but she just wants me to watch her do everything. They want to, and I want to show that I'm interested in her. And my little boys, I mean, who are grown up now pretty much, I wanted to be with them, but I was sent for the gospel's sake to prison, and I was there for 4 years, and I missed being with them for that time, and it really hurt me, and it hurt them too, because I wanted to be with them, and I always was with them before I went, and I played with them and everything. I'm interested in my children, and I'm interested in the children in this church and the adults in this church, and I want you to get to heaven, and that's why I want you to do the right thing, because God is telling me to tell you the right thing, and the Lord wants you to go to heaven. He doesn't want to see anybody go to hell. Amen?
Amen.
So you've got to show that you're of the Lord by doing rather than just saying, or just saying, handing somebody a tract, and if they're interested, you have to sit there and talk to them, because I don't care what you're doing, if it's cooking or sewing or whatever. There isn't anything more important than satisfying somebody's soul, whether it's your children or somebody else's children. And if you take care of other children, I took care of people in prison, getting them the gospel, and prayed that God, that somehow the people that are taking care of my children will do a good job, because I don't want them to go to hell, the lake of fire. When I came back, they had some problems, but the Bible told me how to take care of the problems. Amen?
Amen.
And now they seem to be in shape, good spiritual shape. Okay, go ahead.
Fine flour, or the meal for making the meal offering, is symbolic of Christ as food, both to God and man, Leviticus 2:1.
But this wicked woman is putting leaven inside. Now this woman is representative of the Catholic cult. Doesn't the Bible say it's a woman?
Yes.
A whorish woman, amen?
Amen.
She puts leaven into the, which is, and then to say it's Christ, that this church is Christian, this cult is Christian. And now it's not just that cult, but it's the whole One World Church. You've got Presbyterians, Lutherans, Episcopalians, all of them have joined in with her. So she's just a big, fat woman now. Huge. And we need to get the gospel to them. Amen?
Amen.
But that cult is filled with paganism, false doctrines, heresies, everything. They'd even taken part of Judaism, the lighting of candles and the ringing of bells and all these sort of things, and added it, thrown it into the soup. Okay, go ahead.
Leviticus 2:1. And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon.
Symbolic of the Holy Spirit, the oil. Then what else?
And put frankincense thereon.
Mm-hmm.
This woman typifies the Roman Catholic cult, which took many pagan practices, heretical doctrines, and evil matters, and mixed them with the teachings concerning Christ to leaven the whole matter of Christianity.
To just poison everything to where all those people can't go to the kingdom of heaven unless they see the light and unless the Spirit of God in Christ lives in them, and they start allowing, they just discard all the heresy, false doctrines, paganism, and begin letting Christ live his life out in them and through them. Okay, then what?
The fifth parable has to do with the treasure hidden in the field. The sixth parable has to do with the merchant who finds the one pearl of great price or great value. The treasure hidden in the field must consist of gold and precious stones, which are the materials for the building of the church and the New Jerusalem. 1 Corinthians 3:12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver...
So what scripture are you reading from again? Mention it again.
1 Corinthians 3:12.
Okay.
Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble...
We'll read the next.
Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it.
Wood, hay, stubble, all these things are garbage. It has to be spiritual material. Amen?
Amen.
Then what? Okay, let's go on to the...
Revelation 21:18-20.
Gold and silver and precious stones here in this materialistic world is of no value. The gold and the silver and the pearls, that the gold, precious stones, and the pearls that the Lord is talking about is us. Amen?
Amen.
We're what the building of the New Jerusalem is made out of. It's symbolic of it. We're not going to be a stone in a wall or a pearl or anything like that, but these are like, we're God's pearls and precious ones. Amen?
Amen.
And we're his like gold to him, just like our little children are to us. Even more so, we are to the Lord. Okay? Then what else?
Revelation 21:18-20. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysophoras, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst.
Right, and the Lord years ago gave me a, told me to make a witnessing watch, which has the 12 stones of the New Jerusalem on it with the picture of the world, and then there's a lighthouse on it with the beams, the light of the world going around the world, and then to put the 12 stones of the New Jerusalem in there, and then a cross. It's a, you know, God is a glitzy God, and you can look up into the sky and see that with all the stars twinkling up there, and he also has the 12 layers of stones in the New Jerusalem, and the pearls and the gold. He's a very glitzy God, and there's like millions of colors. I was telling them that many people think that all the colors in the world are just those that are in a crayon box. But being from the advertising world, I know there are literally millions of different colors. And there's so many of them that it's very hard to identify some of them if somebody uses one that is not well known. And so I've done all these watches, witnessing watches and crosses with the 12 stones of the New Jerusalem. Every time somebody looks at the time, they see that Jesus is the light of the world, because the lighthouse with those beams going around it, they're yellow. And I've had all these things made up, but then they were causing me, the government was causing me so much trouble, I never really did it. And I really think that a lot of Christians will wear that, because we have to, you know, these stones are going to be there. You might as well get used, if you're going to be a Christian and be in a glitzy city, you might as well get used to it right down here. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord wanted it out because it's just, something to wear and keep your mind on the Lord with. I want to keep my mind on heaven, and the New Jerusalem is heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and it's the Lord. And it is jewels. Amen?
Amen.
And it is gold. All right, so there's nothing wrong with symbolizing it that way. Okay, go ahead.
The pearl is also part of the building material for the building up of the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21:21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass.
And this is literal. It's not symbolic. It really is that way. Just like the stars in the sky twinkle. Amen?
Amen.
They're brilliant, like diamonds in the sky. Amen? And remember that God, man didn't make diamonds and pearls and rubies and man didn't do that, and emeralds and rubies and sapphires and all these things. God did that. And he's the one that made gold. He put all these things in the earth. So if God is not a glitzy God, why did he do that? Okay, then what? Why did he say to Aaron to put 12 precious stones, the same stones that are in the New Jerusalem, in the breastplate that Aaron wore in the New Old Testament? All right, then what?
Gold, pearl, and precious stones have to do with the issue of the growth of the seed of life.
Right, because how does it do that? Because when we preach the word, and we eat the word, and we drink the word, and we breathe the word, there's growth there, amen, of God's life in us. And when we preach the word, there's more growth that comes out of it unto others, amen?
Amen.
So read that again, because you know, some people may think this is false doctrine, but it's in the Bible, and you better receive it, okay? Go ahead.
Gold, pearl, and precious stones have to do with the issue of the growth of the seed of life.
See, a lot of people think, well, we're not supposed to think of gold and silver and pearls and precious stones. No, we're not to lay up treasures here in this world, but we are the actual gold, the pearls, and also the precious stones. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord said that. Now receive it and live. Amen?
Amen.
So you got to know the difference between spiritual gold, silver, precious stones, and pearls, and just the imitation ones down here. Okay? They're just symbolic of what the Lord is going to have in heaven. Just like Jerusalem is just symbolic of the New Jerusalem. And the food and water that we drink is just symbolic of the real food and water, and breath that we breathe here is symbolic of the breath of heaven, the Spirit of God. Right, then what?
Within the seed is the element of transformation, which is the issue of the tree of life in Genesis 2, 9 through 12.
I told you that before I started this series here that it would be a little deep for some of you. It's be much deeper, all right? And I can look at the blank faces of some of the people here, and I can see that I've lost you already. I see vacancy signs on the eyelids. Okay, what else?
Within the seed is the element of transformation, which is the issue of the tree of life in Genesis 2, 9 through 12, is gold, pearl, which is delium, and precious stone, onyx stone.
Okay, and delium, that's pearls. And I had them look it up in the dictionary, and sure enough, it says delium is pearls. Amen?
Amen.
And onyx is a precious stone. It's like a cameo. You learn something new here every day, right?
Yes.
Okay, what else?
Genesis 2, 9 through 12.
This is in Genesis, the first book of the Bible. And what chapter is that?
Chapter 2.
Chapter 2, right in the beginning. Read it.
Verses 9 through 12. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads.
See, there's the water right there to drink. Amen?
Amen.
Symbolic of that water would give you everlasting life until they sinned. And then that spirit lifted from them when they were disobedient to the Lord just once. And some people today have become Baptists. They think that you can be disobedient to the Lord many times and still have the Spirit, retain the Spirit of God in you. What fools. What disbelief. What heresy. Who sowed such heresy into your hearts? False doctrine. The doctrine is once, unless it's ignorance. The people willingly are disobedient to the Lord every day. On many occasions, I see people just doing it all the time. And they think the Lord is with them. And then they wonder why they're sick. Oh, Lord, why don't you answer me? I'm angry. I was angry at God. Well, he's departed from you. You idiot. Haven't you heard? Haven't you read the scriptures? And you're angry at God because of what you did? That you disbelieved his word? What kind of an idiot are you? A disbelieving one, right? Yes. Then what?
The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold.
Okay, gold right there in the second chapter. Because this is gold. All the building materials are right here. Then what?
And the gold of that land is good.
It's good gold. Then what?
There is delium and the onyx.
Delium, that's pearls. And the onyx stone, which is a precious stone. Amen?
Amen.
So all of them are there, right in the beginning, and it's right there in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Okay, go ahead.
In 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul said, quote, I planted, Apollos watered, but God made it to grow.
Yeah, God made the increase. God made it grow. That's what it means. God gave the increase. God made it grow. You plant a seed out there, that ain't nothing to do. Anybody can plant a seed, amen?
Amen.
Anyone can preach the word, right? And then anyone can take a hose and water it, right? You can just keep reading the Bible to people and they're going to get faith from it, amen?
Amen.
But who makes it grow? Huh?
God.
God. Only God can make it grow, right? Amen. But if a seed is rotten, they just don't receive the water. If they don't receive it and it just dies, well, that isn't God. God's not going to make somebody that's not interested in eating and drinking and breathing him. He can't make that person grow. And he's not making anyone into robots in the past or in the future. He wants people to be willing to obey him, to coordinate all their senses, to cooperate with his word. Amen?
Amen.
We have to our flesh has to cooperate with the spiritual way of life in order for us to be spiritual, in order for us to enter the kingdom of the heaven, which is the spiritual place for the spirits to live. Otherwise, you go to the other place, hell, then the lake of fire. Then what?
1 Corinthians 3:6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase.
Yeah, he made it grow. Then what?
Then he proceeded to reveal that the church is, quote, God's farm, God's building, chapter 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are
husbandry, you're farmers. Amen?
Yes.
He's the farmer, right? God is saying, I'm a farmer. Right? Hey, let's just receive that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Ye are God's building.
Yeah, and we are the produce, the precious building materials for God's habitation, for a place for him to live here on earth, in us. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And that we need to build the church with gold, silver, and precious stones.
In other words, no leaven in it, no false doctrine. Don't be telling people that you can get by with being disobedient to the Lord, because that's false doctrine, it's paganism, and it's heresy. Amen? If you want, everything has to be made out of jewels, God's gold and pearls. Amen?
Amen.
That's us, without leaven. you start taking on leaven, then the angels come and pluck you right out of the wall and throw you on the trash pile. You can't have your own doctrine and get into heaven. Otherwise, you're like that woman sowing leaven into the fine meal, into the unleavened fine meal. Then what else?
1 Corinthians 3:12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it.
Right. God knows what you're doing. Amen. All this hay and stubble and wood and all that's heresy, false doctrine, paganism, and everything, all the leaven. You can't build big sanctuaries and get into the kingdom of heaven by doing that either. You get in by receiving the word of the Lord, the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Not fancy buildings. I don't know of one big fancy building that Jesus ever, that he condoned, that he ever, he was in the temple now and then, but he was not born in the temple. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea in a manger. Amen?
Amen.
None. There wasn't anything of Jesus' life that had to do with the temple. He told that the temple is going to be thrown down. He had nothing to do with religion. And then what else?
The gold, silver, and precious stones for God's building come from the growth in life in God's farm.
Right, we're the produce. We grow, and then we become transformed into these precious things for the Lord. But if we allow any dirt or leaven or poison to come in, we're not acceptable as the building, precious building materials for God to live in. He wants to live in pure things. And he is the one that dictates as to us as to what pure is. And so we have to cooperate with what he says pure is. Amen?
Amen.
Disobedience is the same as witchcraft. He's not going to live in a witch. He wants to live in gold things, pearls. There was a song, "My mother's pearls were her boys and girls, and our greatest treasure was she." Well, so if mothers can have little pearls of her boys and girls, then how much more God? Amen?
Amen.
Does that mean, that's sort of a symbolic song, right? Because we know that my mother's pearls were her boys and girls. We weren't pearls, were we?
No.
To her we were, though, see? And that's the way it is with God. Maybe that parable will help. My mother's pearls were her boys and girls, and our greatest treasure was she. Yes, my mother's pearls were her boys and her girls, and our greatest treasure was she. Now just take it that way, that the Lord means what he means. Amen?
Amen.
Pearls and his precious stones and his gold. Amen. We are like gold if we have no heresy or any of this poison in us. And that's what the Lord likes to live in. Amen?
Amen.
So don't try to think that you don't, or try to make it look like you don't understand. Because God will never believe it with this little song that I'm singing, okay? You understand it now a lot better, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, what else? So we don't like think of ourselves as hard pearls or stones or gold, but that isn't the way it is meant. You know, it's sort of like symbolic, so to speak. Amen?
Amen.
All right. What else?
The church, the house of God, must be built with gold, silver, and precious stones, precious materials produced from Christ growing in us.
Right. Christ wasn't any of that either, but he's like the Spirit. It's all Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
As God's farm, we have Christ planted in us.
That's the seed. Amen?
Amen.
God in Christ, the seed. I am the seed. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am your life. Then what?
Christ must also grow in us and out of us
to produce the precious materials.
He comes into us as seed and then out of us to others. Amen?
Amen.
Then we become his precious gold, pearls, and precious stones. Just like Mother thought we were. Poor naive thing. Amen? But we can become that, you know, as we're transformed daily by the Spirit, the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Christ must also grow in us and out of us to produce the precious materials of gold, silver, and precious stones for the building of God's habitation or place to live
in. And pearls. Okay, and then what else? So I missed a lick there. All right, so I'll add it in while we talk here. Okay, what else?
For the building of God's habitation or place to live in on this earth. In both Matthew 13 and 1 Corinthians 3, there are the concepts of the seed of life, the growth in life, and the transformation in life. The seed of life is sown within us and grows in us to transform us into precious materials for God's building.
Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. God bless you. And see you on tape number 39, right?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Bye.
Bye.